Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is a live weekly every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, Prophecy Reality Edition. I want to thank you all for showing up. The studio cam is on. So come on over, if you're able, to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net and join the conversation there. Well, what a show. It was so popular a year or so ago that they decided to do two. The Donald Trump impeachment revisited. So I haven't been paying any attention to it myself. I already know what's going on. It's been going on for over a year, and it's pretty much the same show, except now they're impeaching a man who isn't president. So I'll look at what all of the pundits and all of the commentators have to say about it when it's all over and done with myself. I'm not going to bore myself watching something that really doesn't matter. What are we going to talk about today? Well, let's start with a few scripture verses. And I have three of them. The first one being one everyone knows. Jesus answered and said to him, this is John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then I'm going to 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth forever and ever." Then 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And that's our word for today, and we'll be touching on that as we go through what's in the news today. Well, what is in the news today? Let's touch on a few news items before we jump into prophecy. Of course, our prophecy topic is going to be, let me find that topic for you. Oh, there it is. Yes, prospects for the unfulfilled future, that which is yet to come, between now and the time that Christ returns, and of course, what will happen after he returns. It's a very interesting thing. And of course, you want to be born again for this. Yeah, for the prospects for the unfulfilled future. You want to be filled with the Spirit of God and walking in his kingdom. Very important. Let's look at a few news items. Something I posted to the firstamendmentradio.com Facebook page there a few days ago. This is IMF calls for credit score to be tied to internet search history. And of course, everyone knows what a credit score is in America, don't they? I mean, you have a number that ties you to this credit score, so you can buy and sell in the satanic monetary system that has taken over the whole world, which is governed by, of course, the Antichrist bankers, yeah, the Vatican bankers, another name for them, the international bankers, the ones that work for the Antichrist in his shadow government. And they require everyone to have a number to participate in this system. And it is rapidly turning into what the scripture calls the mark of the beast. Of course, mark being identification, and beast being the ruling power of the world today, the primary ruling power of the world today, of course, headed by the Antichrist. You know, it astounds me that Christians have been, you know, evangelicals for many, many years have been saying, at the end, before Jesus returns, the Antichrist is going to rule the world. But here we are, coming up to the end before Jesus returns, and all of them are going, we don't believe in the Antichrist. He won't be revealed until the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way and we're raptured. Meanwhile, I think that's something that the Antichrist wants them to believe. As a matter of fact, the Antichrist, through his Counter-Reformation army, developed a false prophecy system so that they would believe exactly that. So they wouldn't identify the Antichrist, the biblical and historical Antichrist, but they would be looking instead in the nether future for some Antichrist to appear. Oh, no, wait, they won't even know when he appears because the Holy Spirit and they are going to be taken out of the way before the Antichrist of the Counter-Reformation prophecy can appear. So all of this, of course, to deflect the accusation of the Antichrist being called the Antichrist. I didn't like that very much. But anyway, credit score to be tied to the internet search. In other words, this is an inquisition. Yeah, it's just a new form of the Inquisition. That's all it is. I mean, they don't need you to pay taxes. They can just print money now. So it's just control. And it's to inquire into who you are and what you believe so they can exclude you, cut you off from the monetary system that they've created and worked so hard to bring about in the world over the last couple hundred years, and especially the last 107 years, because it was 1913. When the Federal Reserve coup of the international bankers, Reed, the bankers that work for the Antichrist, had their coup of the U.S. Treasury and took over the monetary system of America and developed the first world reserve currency. Yeah, so here we are. So the IMF is calling for a credit score. Now, I have to admit, since I decided 25 years ago, I felt I was motivated by the Holy Spirit to withdraw from that identification system and not use it anymore. So that I experienced over the last 25 years this exclusion from all things tied to that identification with the monetary system of the world. And slowly and but surely, they have excluded me from many things, starting first with a driver's license. They said, if you're not a participant in the Socialist Security number needed to buy and sell, or if you don't give us a number, we won't give you a driver's license. That's where it started. Then it was business licenses. Then it was a passport. And soon it will be just, you know, it won't be enough that you just don't use a number, but they're going to exclude you because you are not aligned with the New World Social Economic Order of the beast and its image. That's where it's going. So anyway, you can check out that article. IMF calls for credit score to be tied to internet search history. So they're going to judge you by your internet search history, and you won't have credit. They may even exclude you, cut off, take your money away, cut you off from banking altogether. Yeah. Are you ready for those days? Well, what else do we have in the news here? I think I had a few more items in my, let's see. No, we won't go there yet. Question. Oh, yeah, here's a question I got from in an email. I just watched your 2030 Mark of the Beast video, which every one of my videos has 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast. So which one, I don't know exactly. But he says, I want to end my Social Security. This is from Ashley, and I don't know where Ashley's from, and I don't know who she is. It's just someone named Ashley. Anyway, she says, a friend who watches you told me that a person can get an EIN instead. How do I accomplish this? Well, I'm not here to give any advice on how to maneuver your way around the Mark of the Beast system, the numbering system. Yeah, I can only say that if you shun the number, if you withdraw from it, you'll figure it out. And you should pray, because there's no one-size-fits-all for this thing. I believe that as more of God's elect align themselves or come to the conclusion that they cannot acquiesce to the mark of the beast any longer, okay, because it's getting pretty hot out there, and that we will be looking for alternatives when Christians who won't worship the beast or its image, you know, what it says there in chapter 13 of the book of Revelation, when we get to that point, okay, where the elect are withdrawing, well, we're going to have to barter and trade in substance like gold and silver, rice and beans, bullets and salt, you know, substance, because that's what real money is. It's trade in substance. So, but you will not be able to buy or sell. You will be excluded from even getting on the internet. That's where it's going. In 2030, that's why I'm titling this the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast. Because the world is, you can see that the governments of this world are getting into lockstep with the Antichrist design for totalitarian world control, okay? Make no mistake about it. If you can't see it happening, then you are willingly ignorant and blind on purpose. Yeah, willingly ignorant. That means, as Kent Hovind would say, dumb on purpose. Yeah, don't want to go there. So anyway, live by your conscience, you know, and start practicing now, because I'm glad I started practicing 25 years ago when it was easier, because now there's no going back. You know, I have too much invested in God's kingdom to ever turn back or pledge allegiance to the beast and its system. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about prospects for the unfulfilled future. Let's see. Let me bring this up. Now, this is from chapter 13 of my latest book, which is this book here, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. Oh, let me see. What can I do here? I don't know if I should put this on the screen or not. Ah, I see. Yeah. I guess I will. I'm going to share some of my book with you here. And this is That Which Is Yet to Come. Jesus' disciples asked him when the kingdom of God would come, and he answered that it was not for them to know. What they and all of Israel expected was the fulfillment of numerous Old Testament prophecies of the coming age, when he, the Messiah, would rule the world sitting upon the throne of David from Israel. They believed that all of the promises reserved for the millennial reign would immediately begin to appear. But this, of course, did not happen. This may be why many chose to reject Jesus. However, God will keep every promise he made of that coming age. You know, we are in this age, and we are in the age to come. Okay, let me see. I was going to... I'm doing, producer stuff right now. Oh, okay, that's how you do that. Yeah, we are in this age, you know, the time from Christ's second coming, his first advent to his second advent. That would be this age, what the scripture refers to as this age. Sometimes it is interpreted as world, this world, and the world to come. So we have the age that we are in and the age to come. And that would be what Jesus' disciples asked him about when they asked him, when was the kingdom coming? And One of them even said, "Can I sit on your right hand?" He said, "That's not mine to give. You know, everything's already been designated from the beginning of the world. You know, that's for the Father to give." Because they were thinking about power structure, you know, kind of like the governments of men. Yeah. But he told them that it's not for them to know. But is it for us to know? Well, yeah, because later on, it was somewhat cryptic throughout the Gospels and somewhat cryptic in the epistles. And that was all said and done, and those were all written about before the time of the destruction of Jerusalem. But our Heavenly Father and His Son had one more revelation to give us, and that is the book of Revelation, which took all of those prophecies from the Gospels and the Epistles and even the Old Testament, and it harmonized everything of the age to come in chapter 20 through the end of the book of Revelation, which speaks of the age to come, and then after that, the eternal state. So all of the promises made to all of the patriarchs are and will be fulfilled in Christ Jesus at his second coming with his millennial reign and the following eternal state. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And of course, asleep in this case is a euphemism, meaning they're dead. They're in the grave. You know, my fathers, many of your fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, sisters, brothers are asleep in the grave, okay, to us. Okay? He says, "I would not have you to be ignorant." See, very nice. We don't want to be ignorant concerning them which are in the grave already, so that we don't sorrow about them. Because it's sorrowful to lose people that you love especially. Even as others which have no hope. That's why it's so important to be born again. We're getting back. You must be born again. You must be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because that's what we are when we are born again. We are a new creation. That very seed that was planted in the Virgin Mary. That's the kind of new creation. That seed, by the same miraculous Spirit of God, the same supernatural act, comes alive in us who by faith believe in Christ and enter into His death and resurrection by faith, so that we, even now, we have eternal life. Yeah, even in our mortal flesh, we are a new creation in a decaying vessel, which when it is planted in the ground will be raised from the dead. So we should not sorrow, even as others that have no hope, for those that have passed on before us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he will bring us with him when he comes, along with everyone. All of those promises made to all of the patriarchs are and will be fulfilled in Christ at his second coming and with his millennial reign and the following eternal state. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. And some of you here listening to my voice, you will be here. I might be here, okay? But you that are young and live to the seventh millennium, which if you check out my posting, what year is it? Go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com and click on that post there, what year is it? And you'll see we have evidence. We have a chronology that we follow in the Bible. Up until Christ comes, we follow from Adam to the 70 weeks prophecy, from the decree to the coming of the 70th week, the end of the 69th week. We pinpoint that in the scripture. 3.5 years before Christ was crucified and then resurrected from the death, he appeared as Messiah and Prince, just as it said he would after the 69 weeks had passed. So we can follow the biblical chronology up until that point. From there, we add the Roman calendation system, the years there, and we come to approximately 2055 for the beginning of the seventh millennium, the end of the sixth millennium, which we are in now. So coming in about 34 years or so, about there. I don't know the exact day or hour. Don't really care much. It's unlikely that I, at my age, will live that long. And especially when I see that there, the scripture warns us that many are going to be killed for withdrawing and not participating in the mark of the beast system. So I might be one of those. You might be one of those. Half of the people listening to my voice might be martyred for their faith. So, for the Lord himself shall descend. Yeah. We are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. He says that God will bring with him all those that are asleep and all those that are, as he said, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It says, for if the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I'll tell you, I find great comfort in that. Knowing I'm going to die anyway. You know, if I lived, if, you know, all my loved ones who have already, are already asleep in Christ, I will meet them and I will be with them. And all of us listening here, we will either be raised from the dead or be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So, and caught up together with them, the dead that rise first to meet the Lord in the air, and to, he will bring us all with him when he comes, and we will come back to this earth for the millennial reign. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that, the amillennials. But, you know, the amillennials, if they lived before Christ came his first time, they would say, well, there's no way. They would have been with all of those that thought God was going to immediately bring the kingdom. Why mess around another year with people being born, or another 1,000 years with people being born and dying in the flesh and sinning and such things? Why then? And why now? Well, we'll discuss that when we get back from these messages.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today. so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to a Prophecy Reality Edition. We're live on firstamendmentradio.net. The chat room is open. The studio cam is on. So come on over and join us there. Let's see the above verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Those verses concerning them which are asleep includes all of the patriarchs, beginning with Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of the faithful elect of Israel, and even includes all of the Gentiles grafted in, all by the blood of Christ, the seed of faith, the true church, the true Israel, will all be resurrected at the second coming of Christ and return to the earth with him for his millennial reign. Now, I'm going to tell you, you don't want to miss that. You must be born again. If you are not born again, then you will miss it. You must be a new creation in Christ. We have our three scripture verses that we're working with today. The first one is John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. The Word of God is very important. You need to fill yourself up with the Word of God. You need to surrender your life to Christ so that your sins may be covered by His blood. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you belong to Him, if you've given your life to Him, if you have surrendered to Him, you're not yours anymore. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are not your own, but you belong to Him. Yes, you belong to Christ Jesus when you surrender your life to Him. Now, this is probably my phantom caller. That's what I thought. Yeah, some people, maybe they don't like it. Why does this guy keep coming back if he doesn't like what I have to say? Or maybe it's a phone error or something, huh? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation, new creature. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And that has to be taken by faith, because we're still in this mortal, decaying flesh. We believe by faith when our mortal body passes away that Jesus will raise us from the dead. We will rise when He returns in the age to come to rule and reign with Christ. That is something that you want to grab a hold of and you never want to let go of. It's the gospel prize. There's nothing more important than that I can think of. Absolutely nothing is more important than that. We will all be resurrected at the second coming of Christ. Coming soon. Yeah. Within, if the seventh millennium is it, and if our chronology is true or even close, then in about 30 to 40 years, okay, just round it out there, doesn't matter much, that Christ will return, and we will all be with Him for His millennial reign. So how then do we discuss the future? And what can only be verified by the Word of God? Because we have not seen it fulfilled in history. Speaking of historicism, I had someone make some critical comments about my book, calling it polemic, or calling me polemic. And he said that the name was a misnomer. antagonistic toward my view of premillennialism, being a Reformed Christian himself. So I really can't say anything bad or about him. But my book is titled Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. Now, those three words there, to have an apology for three words, Reformed, if you're not Reformed, it's polemic, yeah. If you're not premillennial, it's polemic to you. And if you're not a historicist, it's polemic, okay? So I'll take that as a badge of honor. And call it polemic and say that the title is a misnomer, well, yeah, is a misnomer itself. Because that's what it's about. You're at opposite ends with those that don't hold your view. And those are the people I'm trying to reach. You know, the ones, the dispensationalists, the ones that aren't Reformed, that have not gone back to the primitive Christian faith of the Bible. That's what it means to be Reformed. You're walking away from apostasy. That's what the Reformation was all about. Going back to the Bible as your guide, and primitive Christianity, premillennial as opposed to what? Postmillennial? Preterism? Amillennialism? Yeah, that's polemic. And of course, historicism, contrary to amillennial, which I find that most of them are not historicists because they don't want to admit. Most of them want to believe that they want to agree, basically, with the preterist in saying that the Bible was written, I mean, that the Revelation was written before 70 AD, because it cures a lot of problems for them. Different problems from the one the preterists have, but how do they explain the things written in the Bible? Because if they have to admit that the 1260 years talks about an actual reign of a man of sin who presided over a great apostasy and had power over the saints for 1260 actual years in history, well, then they might have to admit that the 1,000 years is an actual literal physical reign too. It's problematic. So that's polemic for you. We're at opposite poles. I have to take a position that's contrary, controversial, even combative in some instances. So, but that's what the very term Protestant means. So how then do we discuss the future that can only be verified by the Word of God because we have not seen it fulfilled in history? We rather await what has been foretold along with the many promises God has made to the faithful in His Word. We can only speculate as to timing on unspecified details, but we know that those explicit prophecies and promises are true and will come to pass. So we are told to comfort one another by them. So with this in mind, we will determine what is within the purview of Scripture for the future, revealed by the word of that which is yet unfulfilled. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." So I wanted to discuss what's going to happen about the year 2055, if my calculations are correct, referring to a post which I've discussed. I started that post in 2008 and then made my last revision in 2013. I made a few more tweaks on some of the exhibits since then, but pretty much it's the same thing that's been there since 2013. I expanded in my book to cover the entire chapter 24 of the prophecy. Because we're not on a creation calendar, but are on the Roman papal calendar, unknown to most people never think about it. They have their debate, A.D. Anno Domini or B.C. before Christ or Common Era versus before the Common Era, B.C.E. And so they argue about that. But it's a specious. It's kind of like, what do they call that? A red herring argument, because they don't want you to really look at the calendar. We're on the Roman calendar. We're on the papal calendar. It's called the Gregorian calendar. Okay, that's people don't recognize that we are on that calendar. If you ask someone, what year is it? They just spout out, well, it's 2021. That's what year it is. But what year is it really from creation? See, because Christ, his incarnation, he became, his first coming was the year about 4 BCE or BC, whichever you prefer. It doesn't really matter to me. Okay? And so that's what they count their calendar from. But it obscures, it hides the date of creation. And John said that he was in the beginning with God, and that all things were made by him, and nothing that was made without him. So Christ was there in the beginning. He's called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That certainly goes back to creation. So I don't know. We'll see. When he comes, I guess perhaps we'll start a new calendar in the year of the, you know, reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, the year one of the millennium. Because in the past, before Dionysius Exiguus, Roman Catholic monk, developed the AD Anno Domini system of measuring the calendar about 500 AD, about the year 500. Before that time, they went by the reigns of the kings or whoever, the whatever year of the reign of whoever was ruling at that time. And that's how they did it up until, especially BC, it was in the whatever year of the reign of whoever. That's how they kept time. And to piece all that together to try to get some kind of chronology is all you're doing when you're talking BC. But we had a Roman calendar, the Julian calendar, which was kept until the papal, the Gregorian calendar was developed. So we had one calendar, starting with Rome. And of course, Rome started way before Christ. So they were counting the calendar from Christ rather than from the beginning of the Roman Empire. But we take the chronology from the Bible up to Christ and we add the year since then to come to the year that we're in now. Let's see. People don't recognize that it is the Roman Empire. Yeah. This is what the Bible... Rome is still the empire that rules the world. There's where we're at. This is what the Bible, what Bible prophecy shows us, that the Roman Empire is the last of the worldly empires that rules, then goes into perdition. People don't recognize that it is the Roman Empire because of the condition of it, how it is all broken up into pieces. And this is exactly what the scriptures said would happen to it. That it would be a broken Roman Empire, that it would be broken by the effects of the clay mingled with the iron. And that is a reference to Daniel chapter 2. I believe that the clay represents the true church or the true elect of God. Okay? Because clay is moldable and the people of God need to be moldable in the hands of God to be conformed to his image. That's because we're born again. We're a new creation. Okay? We're moldable. I think that this brokenness, I think that this brokenness is a fact of God's kingdom on the earth by the presence of his holy nation, mingled among all the nations on the end time Roman Empire. Perhaps this could be an illustration of the different stages of redemptive history effected in this age. And redemptive history, I hear that a lot in amillennialism. But they can't seem to accept the fact that perhaps the millennium is just the final stage in redemptive history. Okay? But though there is plenty of iron out there, still enough to get trampled by if you're in the right place at the wrong time. And the other condition of the Roman Empire is the beast that was and is not, yet is. There's a mystery there. There's a mystery being expressed there. It's saying that this beast exists, this ten-horned sea beast of Revelation, that beast that like that dragon beast that had ten horns that came up out of the sea and has existed. It represents, of course, the Roman Empire in its different stages of development throughout history as it appears differently throughout Daniel and then the Revelation. But it is the same beast that is expressed as the final beast, that sea beast power that rules the world and goes into perdition, meaning it rules the world until Christ comes and goes into perdition. But there is another beast that shows up, and that's not the topic for today, and that is the earth beast that rises up and doesn't conquer or assimilate the sea beast like the sea beast did all of the other beasts before it, because the earth beast comes up in a different locality. Rather than the sea, it rises up out of the earth. So there's no necessity to conquer or assimilate, but instead it comes alongside of and helps the sea beast by the construct of an image of the sea beast. And I've determined that that is the United Nations. And you can check out my book or some other postings I have on my website if you want more information about that. So we have the effect of the clay on the iron, getting back to our text here, breaking it in pieces so that it is no longer cohesive and people don't recognize it. So they talk about the fall of the Roman Empire in history. But did the Roman Empire really fall? Well, pagan Rome fell. Then after that, papal Rome reared up and ruled for 1260 years through that little horn, you know, Daniel's little horn, of the ten-horned beast power. Afterward, it was punished, as foretold in the scripture. That head, where the little horn was seated, was punished, and those judgments on her began about the time of the French Revolution and continued for almost 80 years until she, that head wounded, finally lost all of her temporal power completely about 1870. At which time she audaciously and contrarily proclaimed herself infallible. The crowns were, in the meantime, moved to the ten horns of the beast. Napoleon had swept over the whole Western European continent, and all of those papal states were punished. The due judgments came upon the whole of the Holy Roman Empire throughout the Old World, a promised retribution for the blood of hundreds of millions of martyrs over 1260 years. Okay. If you were listening to the broadcast that was on before this one on First Amendment Radio, you would have listened to Tom Fress restarting the series Rulers of Evil by F. Tupper Saucy. That will replay again tomorrow. But it'll also, if you want to catch up with it, it will also be in the podcast archives here at First Amendment Radio or at firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI, MOBI for your Android or iPhone device, or your all of your devices, mobile devices, that is. So you can check that out there. It will be replayed tomorrow, but the series will continue with part two and onward until it's all finished. Starting tomorrow. So make sure you check that out. Also, I'm starting next Monday my narration on the Waldenses and that book from James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism on the Waldenses, Albigenses, the Vaudois, that whole area of history. Enough. Some of it is enough to make you weep. And it was very difficult. Some caught myself actually breaking down in tears at some of the things I read that happened to those poor people, and that I had to stop recording and gain my composure to continue. But very moving series, so that I'll be starting, finishing up Proverbs Friday, and we'll be starting that on Monday, that whole series. I have like two more segments to record, but I have the bulk of it recorded so I can start replaying that for you. And like I said, it will all be in the podcast archives there at firstamendmentradio.net, so you don't have to miss anything. Because we have our Tuesday through Friday archives there on the podcast that are available free for anyone to listen to. both at the website there, firstamendmentradio.net, and the mobile page at /.mobi. That's firstamendmentradio.net/.mobi. And all the podcasts are available there for your Apple and Android devices. So make sure you take advantage of that. Let's see. Let me check the chat room. We're going to go into a break here in a few minutes. So I'm going to pick up where I left off when we get back from the break. But I'm going to check the chat room, see if we get any comments or questions. Carrie Ann says, peace out, off to work. Hope she's listening on her way to work or at work if she's able to. If you're able to. I don't want you to steal from your employer by if you're not able to listen at work. Let's see. If clay represents Christians, how is it that the clay is included when the rock made without hands destroys the toes, which included the clay and the iron? No, it destroys the whole image of the governments that are ruled by Satan. Okay? That are ruled by the deception. You see, because he will not be able to deceive the nations any longer when Christ comes and throws Satan into that prison for the 1,000 years. So he's destroying the construct of the Satan-deceived and ruled nations. That's what's going to be destroyed. So the image will be shattered of the nations of men that are ruled by Satan. Okay? But God's people will be resurrected. So that destruction will not touch us. We will be resurrected. The construct will not be resurrected. Okay? It will be blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor. Mercury falling in the chat room asked that question. Good to see you here, Skinnerd. I believe I know who that is from Oregon. Let's see. Well, the Lord brought you to the right place. Okay, hard sayings. Thank you for that, Sid, for your confirmation there. Hath not the potter power over the clay to make some lump one vessel to honor and another unto dishonor? Well, amen to that. Amen to that. Okay, we're going into that break. We'll be back after some messages and the news. You're listening to Cross the Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. The Senate impeachment trial against former President Donald Trump continues at noon Eastern time today. Democrats are arguing that the former president incited the riots that took place at the Capitol building in January and that he cannot go unpunished. But Texas Senator Ted Cruz, however, says that Democrats are blinded by their hatred of Trump and are ignoring the real issues.
And instead of working on the very real problems we have in this country, we have tens of millions of Americans out of work. We have millions of kids who are not going to school. And yet the Democrats are not trying to fix those problems. Instead, they want to go through a circus of an impeachment trial that they know is doomed to failure.
Joe Biden's new guidelines for immigration and customs enforcement limits arrests and deportations for illegal aliens, even those who have committed violent crimes. Former ICE Director Tom Homan says this is the most anti-law enforcement action he has ever seen in his long career.
There is no reason to reprioritize what ICE does. If they would have clearly looked at the data, 91% of everybody ICE arrests is either a convicted criminal or pending criminal charges. What they just did, they took 95%, and that's not an exaggeration, 95% of the criminals ICE have arrested are now off the table. They're free in the community. And what kind of message does that send to the rest of the world? If you're coming to the country illegally, if you can get past the Border Patrol, don't commit an aggravated felony, and you're home free. You right. get to stay because ICE is not looking for you. It's no longer illegal to be here illegally. In my 34 years of doing this job, and I started as a Border Patrol agent, I climbed the ladder to being an ICE director, first one to climb up through the ranks. When I read this policy, this is the most anti-law enforcement, pro-criminal policy that I could ever imagine.
A longtime pipeline worker who has lost his job because of Joe Biden's order to shut down the Keystone XL pipeline says so-called green energy isn't going to fuel airplanes and big trucks. Lynn Allen has been welding on pipelines for more than 20 years and has a wife and three kids. Now, because of Joe Biden and the left-wing Democrats pushing wind and solar energy, he is out of a job.
It's a slap in the face, is what it is. You work hard, you pay taxes. The trickle-down effect of these pipelines and these pump stations due to this XL Keystone, it prospers so many people. I mean, from the landowner all the way up to the welder, all the way up to the oil or gas company. Mm-hmm. And they can sit and say what they want to about green energy. It ain't, it's just a side deal. Oh. Oil and gas is going to push the world. That's what flies your airplanes, your big trucks. It's not solar and it's not wind. If they want wind and solar, they need to go to the desert out there and put them in the desert. But they need to go do that and leave us oil and gas people at the oil field alone.
The abortion clinic to the stars is no longer. More from Charlie Butts.
In Beverly Hills, there was what Cheryl Sullinger of Operation Rescue describes as a notorious abortion clinic, which had committed abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy. It was one of a handful of clinics nationwide that will do abortions that late.
We found out that this abortion clinic, last visit was December 31st, and it is now closed, and they have taken a moving van and moved all their stuff out. They have vacated and permanently closed.
Operation Rescue was able to get a document from the city of Beverly Hills showing the owner of the clinic, who was also the abortionist, was closing her business permanently and relinquishing her business license.
It used to be called the Abortion Clinic to the Stars because it was right there in Beverly Hills, and they had a special program where women that didn't want to be seen or didn't want anybody to know they were at an abortion facility, they could schedule private abortions when no one else would be in the building to see them.
Sullinger just said it's really a good thing that owner Yosefa Seletz shut down Pro-Choice Medical Center because ambulances rushed patients post-abortion to hospitals 10 times in just the last 3 years. But no more. I'm Charlie Butts.
For American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality News Edition, and we're live on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. We're in the chat room. The studio cam is on, and our discussion today, excuse me, should have done that before I came back. Our discussion today is on that prospects for the unfulfilled future, that which is yet to come. Before we move on there, let's look at the chat room. And I noticed I scrolled up and saw that Dale had a question, and a very good question, something that I have thought about in the past. Dale asked, so who were the dead that were seen after Christ or after his crucifixion? So when Christ was crucified, the gospel records for us, I can't exactly recall where, but you can look that up if you want to, that some came out of the graves and testified and gave their testimony, you know, when Christ was raised from the dead at the same time or about that same time, that many came out of the graves and went about and testified in Israel. I would call that a special mission, a special dispensation, because we don't have people rising from the dead all the time. Or maybe those were people that are kind of out of time. Maybe they were resurrected and then sent on, like I said, a special mission. Like Jesus has been on several special missions that are recorded in the Old Testament, where he appeared to the Old Testament saints. So what happened to them? Well, they passed on to the resurrection. See, I believe, and I'm going to tell you, it's like I said, well, I believe that the clay represents God's people, the influence of God's kingdom in that one prophecy, okay? in the image prophecy of Nebuchadnezzar, I believe that the clay there represents God's people or God's holy nation and its effect on the image by breaking it into pieces and all of the good things that have been brought about into the world by the development of the church that Jesus said he would build. And look at the effect he's had in breaking up what was a cohesive evil in the world, like the Roman Empire and then the Holy Roman Empire. Okay? So, but I said, I believe, that's my opinion. I might be wrong. It might be something else, because there's nothing anywhere that explicitly states that, okay? So, and I will readily admit that. And there are some things that are explicitly stated, and I have to go with the explicit statement. So, but on that, I have to admit, it might be wrong. There might be more another meaning to it. But from what I read and how I see it fit in history, that's the conclusion I've come to. Until I have a thus saith the Lord on that, which apparently I'll know a lot more in the resurrection, so we can discuss it then. if you want me to say I'm positive that I was right, or perhaps I'm positive I was wrong, but I'll be able to say that then positively. Okay. So anyway, let's continue where we left off. We were talking about the scripture did foretell. We left off. The crowns were in the meantime. We were talking about the sea beast. The crowns were in the meantime moved to the 10 horns of the beast. Napoleon had swept over the whole Western European continent, and all of those papal states were punished. The due judgments came upon the whole of the Holy Roman Empire throughout the Old World, a promised retribution for the blood of hundreds of millions of martyrs over 1,260 years. Now, I'm talking about prospects for the unfulfilled future, but until you know where we've been, you can't know where we're at or where we're going. You know, it's because life is a journey. If you just appear somewhere, you don't know where you came from, and you don't know where you're going, then you are lost in the world. But that's why God gave us his word, so we wouldn't be lost. We could have some kind of idea and of where we are, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. Now, the scripture did foretell that its deadly head wound by a sword, beginning about the French Revolution, according to many prominent historicists, which I hold to, would subsequently be healed. So that deadly head wound would subsequently be healed. And many posit that the healing took place about 1929, when the Vatican, the head, okay, received its sovereign status once again and stands among the nations as a separate city-state. However, behind the scenes, through her Jesuit Counter-Reformation Army, what the world calls the shadow government, and has she has retained near total control back into her hands. We're talking about the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the head that was wounded. Okay? She has retained near total control. Mystery Babylon. The whore that rides the beast. The beast, of course, being the sea beast. Okay. She has retained near total control back under her hands, not only of her former vassal states, but those of the New World also. Is that obvious today? To me and those of you with your eyes open, wide open, understanding prophecy, history, and where we're at today, and who the major players are, at least, to have some kind of idea of what's going on out there, because you read God's word and understood it, okay? You realize that the Antichrist, the man of sin, and his shadow government has retained near total control back into their hands, not only of the former vassal states of Western Europe, but those of the New World also, though not by the same overt methods that she used during her 1,260 years of infamy. Yes, I'm here exposing the seed of the Antichrist, the man of sin, the vicar of God on earth that Paul spoke of in 2 Thessalonians. Now, evangelical Protestants, those who believe in the Word of God, whether they're futurists or historicists, they believe that the Antichrist will rule for the last 7 years, at least, even though the futurists believe that he won't be revealed until then. Unfortunately, that Jesuit end-time Antichrist lie that began with Francisco Ribera, the whole thesis of an Antichrist who is vacant for most of the church age and only appears for a few fleeting years immediately before the return of Christ, and is celebrated today in futurist dispensationalism, was invented solely by the Jesuit Francisco Ribera as an eschatological tactic for their counter-reformation effort. Paul verifies that the man of sin was not reserved only for the distant era in which we live. He says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, or restrains, will restrain until he be taken out of the way." He proclaimed that he had told them these things face to face, and said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That these things were already at work is verified by a close study of Simon Magus in history. Yes, that Simon Magus, that Simon the magician from the book of Acts, who went on to Rome and founded his own form of Christianity. A statue of Father Simon was even built to this infamous man. Many of the reformers hold that it was Simon Magus and not Simon Peter who was the first pope at Rome. There is no first century historical record of the Apostle Peter ever being in Rome, let alone being bishop of the Roman Church. It is, however, explicitly confirmed in the Bible itself that it was Paul who was the apostle that God sent to Rome. We have only unfounded rumor that appeared hundreds of years later, about the same time the Roman Petrine theory appeared, which has become widely believed, even by evangelicals and Protestants, that Peter was crucified upside down at Rome. Because the Roman Church doesn't even believe in the physical, literal return of Christ, but they know that the people they're trying to get to believe in this end-time Antichrist scenario, they know that they are millenarians, and that they believe in a literal, pre-millenary return of Christ, they're evangelicals believing in the Counter-Reformation lie that has been fed to them. However, as we've exposed here many times over and again, that the Antichrist was revealed, that man of sin was revealed a long time ago, and the recognition of him only grew as the 1260 years of his reign continued until the Reformation exploded on the old world scene. The Reformation fathers and other Bible believers that were not part of or had departed from the Roman Catholic Church suspected or discovered that the papacy was the seat of the man of sin when the Reformation broke upon Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door at Wittenberg. The recognition of the Antichrist or the man of sin sitting in the papal throne in the Vatican became a received and well-known fact, only to be covered up over the subsequent centuries by Jesuit Counter-Reformation intrigue. Their efforts have been very successful. Okay, yes indeed. Well, let me check the chat room. Take a little break from... And this is from the last chapter of my book, chapter 13, I believe, about the prospects for the future, that which is yet to come. I work hard to place us in history so that we know what happened. We can follow the chronology. Jesus said he would build his church, and he's been doing that for 2,000 years. What's the next phase? Okay. Is the next phase is for him to abolish, lock up Satan and abolish all of these governments of men, the beasts, powers of men, that image, that mystery Babylon image, of which is the precursor of the image created by the seventh beast, or the second beast of Revelation chapter 13. The image of the beast, the image of the sea beast, through which the man of sin and his shadow government will eventually, in some time before Christ returns, and are already, in many ways, vicariously ruling the world. And that's why they say, they will marvel when they see the beast that was and is not. How do you marvel something that is not, yet is? Well, it's seeming to make perfect sense to me. I hope that it will make perfect sense to you. Let me check the chat room here. Let's see. Jesuit Fiend says... 5996 AD. Yes. 5996. That would be 4 years left. I hope he's right. Yeah, that I don't have to live to be 100 years old in 2055 when Christ returns. I have to be over 100. You know, but I didn't come to my conclusion because it was what I wanted. It was because what it was what I found saddens me. I tried very hard to see if I could find any errors that would bring it closer to my lifespan. But it could not. So I ended up where I ended up, and it doesn't do me any good. But the truth is where I want to end up. So I'm with you, Jesuit Fiend, and being 5996 and there being only 4 years left before the end of the sixth millennium, 996 years into the sixth millennium, meaning we have 4 years left till the seventh. Oh, yeah, 2055. That would fit perfectly with what we were talking about before when we were talking about this thing, DJL.com and them. Yeah, you remember that show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you fear the future? I think I called it something like that. Do you fear the inevitable? Yeah, look for that show. We talk about DJL.com and the prognosticators of the Antichrist and what they're foretelling for the future of America, reducing the population in America to 99 million in by 2025. That's like 4 short years away. So I'm all with you on that. On Jesuit Fiend in the chat room outlining the year 5996 AD. I wish, I hope that was true. I wish I could find that and correct my error then. But unfortunately, yes, the more I look at it, the more I realize that I can't find enough error to change it beyond a year or less than a year. So there's no point because I'm just rounding it off to say a 3-year window with a 2055 in the middle. That's close enough for me because I won't be alive. Yeah, or it is unlikely I will be alive. If I'm alive, that means God is going to keep me here doing this because I'm not retiring. I don't care what it takes. If I'm out there with a walker, or in a wheelchair or whatever, I'm going to be serving God until the day I die. I don't want to do anything else. Yeah. My best life is not here in this mortal plane. It is beyond the grave and the resurrection. So anyway, let's see. Mercury Falling says, I see the symbolic writing for Christians, but it also symbolizes those to dishonor. Thus, it seems to include all of humanity. The unsaved would be dishonorable, not trying to contrarian, but just looking for obvious things that are not consistent. Well, keep looking, and I will keep looking, too. If you get anything, send it to me. If you think it's something that's going to change my mind, especially in the Word of God, but I'm narrowing my view to the clay of the image and how it fits in there, so and how it's contrasted with the iron being that last cohesive nation that has assimilated all other nations, and so what is it that's breaking it up? So that thus my conclusion. So there you go. No one knows the day or the year. Thank you for that, WW. I can say that 100 times over. I seem to be missing some chat room chatter. don't take the vaccine. Yes, please, my friends, do not take the vaccine. They're hiding the death count. And I believe if anything is going to make the DJL.com, that's DEGEL, DEAGEL, there it is, DEAGEL, and look at their forecasts for population, forecasts for in the future. And, I think if anything's going to help them with that, it's going to be the more sheep a nation has, the less people they're going to have in the years to come because they're willingly going to the slaughter. As a matter of fact, there are some in Israel that are calling it the new Holocaust. Yeah, listen to... I heard that, but you could probably find it if you do a search on DuckDuckGo. If you do a search on Google, they're going to hide what they don't want you to see because they want you to remain a sheep. So go to DuckDuckGo or one of those other independent free speech search engines. It depends on what you're searching for. So like if you're searching for the best price on something, you know, maybe Google is the way to go. But if you're searching for the truth, yeah, then you might want to, if you're searching for what the mainstream media is saying, well, then use Google and you'll find them quickly. What they want the sheeple to believe, yeah. So you'll know that what's not the truth by what they're, what they don't want you to hear. Yeah, DEAGEL.com. Mm-hmm. Let's see, vaccineimpact.com. And there's plenty of good. You can go to LouRockwell.com, and from there you can get the best articles of the of that genre. LouRockwell.com, one of my favorite for a compilation of articles from all of these, even Vaccine Impact. I've seen articles from there, from Children's Health, Kennedy Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr.'s on there. His articles all the time. So a lot of good articles. There's a disclaimer. I don't think, read the disclaimer. Yeah, no liability there. Let's disclaim everything we say. That's right. Let me see if I can find that disclaimer. We got a few minutes before the break and we'll get back to it. Oh, here it is. Disclaimer. Okay. Oh, disclaimer. That's a big disclaimer. Yeah. That's a lot of paragraphs for a disclaimer. This website is nonprofit, built on spare time. We provide our information as services as is, without further explanation or guarantees. We are not linked to any government. Take into account that the forecast is nothing more than a game of numbers, whether flawed or correct, based on some speculative assumptions. Yeah, well, they don't tell us what the speculative assumptions are. But if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world, well, you can speculate as to what their speculative assumptions are. But anyway, very interesting. Let's see. Yeah, there it is. Okay, we're going into a break any second now. Let's see, how does that work? Gotta be my own producer. Yes, in a few seconds. Okay, so anyway, go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Make sure you follow, press the follow button there so you can follow my blog and you get a notice anytime I do a post on the site. Also, go to firstamendmentradio.net. Download the app there, the Prophecy Reality News app. You'll be able to listen to First Amendment Radio .net 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And for your iPhone devices, we don't have an app in the iStore, in the iPhone store anymore, but you can do this on both iPhone and Android. Go to a page, firstamendmentradio.net/Mobi. Save a link, a shortcut on the surface of your device, and you will have it. Okay, we'll be back in a few minutes.
First on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give.
If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And let's see, our scripture verses for the day is John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1:23. And then we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," a new creation. In many versions, "old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." And that pretty much encapsulates the gospel message. Jesus preached it. He said, he began to preach. He went about preaching and said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand," which simply means to change your mind, to bring your mind into conformance with the Almighty, that your life without him, without following him, is only going to lead you to death. And it's much more advisable, much more profitable to listen to him and to walk in his ways and repent and leave your old ways behind. And that becomes, I call it the repentance road. It becomes a way of life, crucifying the deeds of the flesh. That's the illustration we get from the Master himself. We crucify the deeds of the flesh through that repentance process, changing our mind, having our mind washed in the water of the Word. The Word is very important. So that we can, when he returns, we can be resurrected from the dead. And all of the promises of God that we've been talking about throughout this broadcast, the unfulfilled future, that which is yet to come, not the age that we are in, this mortal age, but the age to come when we will be raised from the dead with Christ. Looking so much forward to it, especially as I get older and older and near the end of my mortality. Let's see. The Bible does talk about a final conflict. So that's prospects for the unfulfilled future as far as prophecy is returned. The Bible does talk about a final conflict, and we will be on the winning side, those of us who are his elect, who have been born again, us that are part of that new creation, in the same way that Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, was by supernatural power of God Almighty, was planted as a seed in the womb of Mary the Virgin. So we are a new creation when we are born again. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. So we will appear with him. The final war of this era is the Battle of Armageddon. We will be on the winning side. And the great day of God Almighty. That's another name for it we get from the scripture. When he appears with all his saints. That's us. Which means we have to appear with him. So there's going to be a resurrection. And we're going to be caught up to meet him. And we will forever be with him. But we are going to be part of his army. And no, we don't need to go to boot camp. I marvel that I incubate chicken eggs. And when they come out of the eggs, and within a few hours, they're up and scratching around, eating and drinking. It's because they have chicken programming in their brain already. God already programmed them. They didn't have to be trained. And they don't even need a mama chicken. They still know how to scratch and peck and eat and walk around almost immediately. Because that's the way God programmed them. So if God can do that for a little chick that just hatches out of an egg, then we don't need boot camp. We don't need a 7-year period to get trained by God how to return in his army. Because we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And there's a lot of futurists. They posit that for 7 years, while there's practical hell on earth and the whole, all of the calamity of the entire book of Revelation is playing out during that 7-year tribulation, that we'll be up there being trained by Jesus and experiencing the marriage supper of the Lamb, things like that. Now, I posit that when he returns, there's not going to be a 7-year tribulation period. We're in the tribulation of those days, as expressed in Matthew chapter 20 right now. The tribulation of those days that are leading up to his return. Nowhere does it say 7 years. He's coming soon, 7th millennium. If Jesuit Fien is right, it's going to be in 4 years. If I'm right, and I hope he's right and I'm wrong, then it's going to be in 34 years, another 30 years on top of that. But, you know, whichever one is right, there's not going to be any of the raptures. None of the 3 raptures are going to happen. And you got to say that, 3 raptures, because that's how many raptures there are. There are 3 in dispensationalism. At least 2, if they're equating rapture with resurrection. But we'll discuss that later. Scripture says, first the dead in Christ will be raised, then we who are alive and remain, and I'm hoping to be one of those, I will have to live long enough, and that's a possibility. So we who are alive and remain will be changed, and then we will be caught up together with those who were dead, that were just raised. We will all be changed and caught up together in the resurrection event upon the return of Christ. Instantly, we will be equipped to know everything we need to know to fit into his army for the great and glorious coup that is coming upon the whole earth. We who have been previously transformed by the blood of Christ, because that's why we're a new creation. We're transformed by the blood of Christ. We are a new creation, including everyone from Adam and Eve through the very last individual included in the elect upon his return, will be in the camp of the saints with our King Jesus. Everyone else who will be left in the governments of men will be primarily those who have previously rejected the gospel. They will be on the wrong side of the great battle to come, because they, being mortals, cannot organize instantly. There will likely be a time of negotiation before the battle ensues, which, because of the character of them who are left in charge of these governments, will only be a stalling tactic while they make ready. Their intelligence will convince them of their military superiority. It will enter their minds that they can defeat this alien invasion to which they have been asked to surrender. Surrender is the only option that the King of the Earth, Jesus, will offer them upon his return. At the end of the sixth millennium, the beginning of the seventh, when Christ returns, then will be the great coup spoken of by the prophet in Daniel chapter 2. That rock formed without hands will strike the image, the image of this world's governments, in the feet and shatter it to pieces. It will become like the chaff of the threshing floor, which the wind blows away, so that no place is found for it anymore. And then that rock will become a great mountain and fill the whole earth. That's the kingdom of God. And that's the last and final kingdom for this heaven and this earth, this creation, this period of 7,000 years. After that comes a new heaven and a new earth. So coming real soon is the end of the 6,000 years. I say around the year 2055. Take a look at my chapter, or take a look at my posting on my website there. What year is it? Right at the top of the page, you'll see it, and you can click on it at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And you can verify for yourself and assure yourself that what I've written there has some validity. Every scripture text that you need is there for you to verify, plus necessary information about the calendars and such. From there, you can take off on your own research. And if you have anything to add or retract, please share it with me. I could try to get it down to the month, but I'm not interested. I take my cue from the Word of God itself and the first appearance of Jesus, because God did tell Israel through the prophet Daniel what year he would appear. 7 weeks and 62 weeks, 69 weeks unto Messiah the Prince. Is it inconceivable that he would reveal the approximate year of his return to his church today? When we read the book of Revelation, and we read it from the beginning up until the time of Christ's return, and of course, then we read about the millennium, and at the end of it, we move into the eternal state. I really need a cough button. Okay, so we move into the eternal state at the end of the millennium, a new heaven, a new earth, and you know we can read it in a few hours at our own leisure. But we must realize when we read it from the beginning of the book of Revelation up until the consummation, the return of Christ, the era that we're living in now, we're covering almost 2,000 years of history there. it only takes perhaps a few hours to read it, and we've reached the return of Christ and the so-called Battle of Armageddon, or the Great Day of God Almighty, when he returns and all of his saints with him. We can read it that fast. But how is that really going to play out? Christ returns, not in one of the raptures, but with the resurrection. I don't call that the rapture, because the raptures are all mixed up with the pseudo 70th week of dispensational futurism, which is not the 70th week that really happened when Christ was crucified and put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself in the midst of the real 70th week. Not the raptures posited around that seven-year tribulation deception. The scripture unveils a quite different sequence of events. I'm talking about the resurrection that the Bible actually teaches us about. The scripture says that he will return in like manner as he left. So when he returns in like manner, we're going to be caught up with him. I guess if he could float in the air with his glorified body, well, we're also going to receive glorified bodies that will never grow old, never get sick. They won't be like our mortal, infirm bodies. We will have a body that is resurrected like his, and we will float in the air too. This resurrection is the blessed hope that all of us look forward to. The gospel prize is the resurrection of the dead by the blood of Christ. That's what I'm talking about. Zechariah 14:3-5 says, "Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee, like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." We will be with him, and all the world is going to see it. These governments out there that are going to be vanquished, you could have the UN with Washington, D.C. government. All the governments of the world will come together, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords appearing with his saints will be perceived as an alien threat to the world. He's going to say, "I'm back, and I'm going to rule the world the way the world should be ruled." And they're going to object. They're going to band together. That will be their answer. It's already been written, and we've read the end of the book. Now the question is, how long will this take? No time frame is given, so it may take months. I do know that our God is patient, and he's not going to show up and wipe them out just like that. They will come together for this battle. Men are mortal and have limitations, so this will take some time. Many of the people of the earth are perhaps going to be making up their mind during that time. Of course, of those that miss the resurrection, many will be changing their mind, because they're going to be mortals that are going to live through this time of conflagration. Many of them are going to decide that, hey, you know what? I think I want to be on the Jesus side of this thing. Seriously, think about how this is going to play out. If they're going to be gathered together, it's not going to be like the snap of the fingers. This could take several years or months. I think months would be fast for the momentous events to happen and for the world to come together prepared for battle. However long it takes and whatever happens in the meantime, it's going to be a great coup. Jesus announces, "I'm taking over and I'm going to rule physically and bodily on the earth. And this is my army. These are the administrators and ministers that are going to rule with me." And you'll notice that they came out of the world to join me because they first believed in me and they put me before everything else when they were in the world. They were already part of my kingdom by faith. Their mortal bodies have now put on immortality. They have now received their reward, and they are part of my immortal kingdom. And we're going to rule and reign here for 1,000 years, until the promised new heaven and earth appear. Some people will want to surrender, but for the most part, they will not be the majority. All of the wicked, all of those who oppose him, will in the end be destroyed. So who's going to populate the earth? Who will it be? Who will be those who did not oppose him? Will it be those who did not oppose him? So these are things to ponder. One may ask, where does the scripture mention that there will be mortals during the millennium? And I outline much of that in my book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. It's available at Amazon or Lulu Press, whichever you prefer. And it's available on Amazon in both EPUB and Audible. Yeah, so you can get it there or at Lulu. I don't have a supply of it here. I don't have a printing press that I can print them out or want to. I don't have the time to stock a store or anything like that. So, and also I will be after I play out the my series on the Waldenses, I'm going to rerun the Audible version on the air. So you could stick around for that and listen to it free. But do listen to that Audible, I mean to my series on the Waldenses, which as I said, will be starting on Monday. Okay. We'll cover more of this next week with whatever other scripture verses that that the Lord lays on my heart for that day. But like I said, make sure you stick around. I'm finishing up Proverbs on Thursday and Friday, but Monday we will be getting into James A. Wiley's History of Protestantism and his book on the Waldenses. And I believe that'll run for probably 2 weeks at least. Yeah, I think I can get it done in 2 weeks. Then we'll jump back and I'll play the Audible version again for those that want to hear the whole book. And as I said, all of those are recorded and you can find them in the weekly podcasts at firstamendmentradio.net or on the MOBI page, firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI, MOBI for mobile. Okay, well, let me check the chat room one last time before we quit here. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of Life entered into them and stood them upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them. Why doesn't this say time? Okay, Smoke put some revelation in there. I don't see any comments or questions. TheDeagle.com is an arms sales website, not for terrorists, but for nations that wish to buy from form the corporations. I think their prediction of 99 million in the USA is more a sales tactic than a prediction. What? They're trying to sell more arms to America? So they're going to scare everybody? I don't know. Something fishy about the site because they're not linked to any specific arms sales. They have, it seems to be a military type website and with keeping up on the latest armaments in the world. It's an interesting site though. So I don't know who's behind it. People have researched it, but not really been able to go very deep. But I think if you research it deep enough, that you'll find links to the shadow government and the, that rules for the Antichrist. I believe that's where it goes. It's information for them, for what they believe is going to happen. It may be a goal for them, or what they think they may be able to accomplish. Because I know the Antichrist hates America, and he's hated our form of liberty ever since it was established. That's why he got in there quickly with his the con of the Constitution. And although he was not, although those liberty-loving minded men were able to get the Bill of Rights attached to the Constitution, if that hadn't happened, we would have lost all our liberties by now much sooner than we have. And we still wouldn't be clinging to the few, to the remnant of the few that we have left. So, anyway, boy, Court Parade is timing out quickly very much there in the chat room. It's rolling by. I got to roll back up here. So, anyway, thank you for that, WW, and everyone else who joined me in the chat room. Thank you for showing up. Make sure you share things with this program with other people. Share the page, the live show page, because that will retain the program on it, forever, basically, or until the website, until they kick me off the internet altogether. I believe that will be 2030. That's their goal. But anyway, going back to the Deagle.com, I believe that's their objective and what they think they're going to be able to accomplish, because they're the only ones. Well, they're not the only ones, but they're the majority that want to accomplish that. Well, it looks like our time has ended for the day, so may the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Until we see you next time.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 3?